We're getting in part two of our gratitude series. Today, titles of the message is, it's a lifestyle. It's not a seasonal thing. You know, if we get to Thanksgiving, it's like, yeah, we gotta give thanks in every which way. And then we get to Christmas, it's about giving, and we drop the thanks off, and then it's just giving. Thanksgiving is an everyday thing. It's a lifestyle, just like faith. Because the Bible tells us to do this always. Okay? So, let's start with prayer, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for speaking through me boldly and accurately, Lord. And we just believe that it will touch the hearts today and begin to impact people's lives, Father God, for the better. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you got your Bibles, open up to Luke 17. This is about the 10 lepers. Here it says, starting in verse 11, it says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Before these 10 lepers were ever able to get back into society, under the law, they had to go and show themselves to the priest in Leviticus chapter 14. And the priest would examine them outside the court to make sure that everything was okay. Everything was good and they were good to go, you know. Jesus told them to go and he gave them a command. And the scripture says as they went, they were cleansed. Obedience is an important factor to healing. And they were healed on the way there. They had to trust Jesus at his word and brave it out that they were going to be healed. Now, any other place in the Bible that talks about Jesus' healing was instantaneously. But as they went, who knows how long it took before they even got back, before they realized that they were healed. It could have been 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. But as the man came back and noticed that he was healed, he came back to Jesus and fell at his feet. And he worshiped him. He thanked him. He praised God. That was a Samaritan. The other 9 must have been Jewish. Look at this. You're not supposed to show yourself to the priest unless you have been healed of a serious disease. Standing at a distance, they cried out to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They couldn't even interact with anyone. If they have families, they couldn't be with their families. Imagine if someone was to get married then and contracted leprosy or what have you. They couldn't be around, under the law, they couldn't be around their wife or husband. They couldn't have jobs. They couldn't provide for their families. This one was made whole. He had everything restored back to him. Can you imagine everyone knowing your condition? Because when they had leprosy, they had to shout out, unclean! Can you imagine having to shout out your sin? Man, unclean. No one can come around. You got to stand off in a distance. By yourselves or with other people. And Jesus says, go and show yourself. See, have you ever second guessed? Have you ever felt so distant from the Father that you wonder whether or not he's listening to you? Have you ever second guessed that maybe he won't heal or protect or save you from your present trouble? But understand, God hears you. No matter how distant you may feel, He said he'll never leave you, nor for, that word forsake means to quit on. God said, I'll never quit on you. He always hears us. So that's the assurance that we have. You can cry out to him. But here's the thing. Crying out doesn't necessarily mean we're in faith. Because when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith here on earth? We can be sure that the Father does want you healed, delivered, restored, set free. All of the good benefits that he has for us. Amen. See, we wouldn't be reading about these 10 lepers if the Father led Jesus a different way. Jesus didn't give no lengthy message. He just simply said, go and show yourself. Verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this was a Samaritan man. This man was a Samaritan. You know, when God does a notable miracle in your life, you can't help but to praise him. You can't help it. I mean, I don't know if anybody, I mean, if he healed you, if he restored your relationships or what have you, who is not going to give thanks to God? You have to. That's almost automatic. If you're not, you might need to do a checkup from the neck up or something. This healed man came back and praised God and thanked Jesus for what he has done. Not only that he was a Samaritan, the others should have known better, but it was a foreigner who came back and thanked him, a foreigner, an outsider. Gratitude. John Maxwell said this, gratitude is the librarian of our past, the speaker of our present, and the prophet of our future. Through worship, praise, and thanksgiving, believers receive not just external healing and blessings, but internal. God truly makes you whole from the top to the bottom. He truly makes you whole in every area of your life, if you let him. The man was made well. Notice the Bible didn't say the leper came back and praised God and thanked Jesus. The Bible does not say the leper came back. It says the man came back. He didn't recognize him as a leper anymore. And sometimes we keep reminding people of our sin and stuff. I said, wait a minute, that's not you anymore. If God has healed you, stop calling yourself that. Oh, I'm just a sinner. Say, listen, I understand you miss it, but that's not who you are in his eyes. You're a child of God. And if you focus more on who you are in Christ rather than what you used to be, you're going to go somewhere. He was no longer bound to that serious skin disease that kept him away from his friends and family. Not able to hold down a decent job and provide for his loved ones. How do you get to a place of gratitude? One of the practical ways that you can do that, writing down every single day, you could journal three things that you're thankful for. I mean, it's kind of like you're forcing yourself, but it's humbling yourself before the Lord. Lord, I'm just thankful for waking up this morning. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful that the Chiefs are going to lose today. It helps you to get focused back on what really matters in life. Being thankful for who God is and what he has done, what he has brought you from, and where he is taking you next. Okay. You know, there's a saying, Jenny Mayo says this. You know, if you feel tired as a dog when you lay down at night, it's probably because you've been growling too much during the day. Thanksgiving. A heart of gratitude. In Psalms 104, New Living Translation says this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. In the Hebrew, there's 11 words that is used throughout the Old Testament for praise or thanksgiving and what have you. And then there's 7 that is commonly used. There's 4 of them mentioned in here. into his gates with thanksgiving. That word thanksgiving means todah. Thanksgiving choir. It means a thanksgiving choir. Go into his courts with praise. That word praise is tehillah. That means to sing praises. Give thanks to him. Thanks means yada. It means to extend your hands. And praise his name. It means barak. To kneel or bow before him. So what this man did was praise God. And he bowed down before Jesus. He did what he was supposed to do. Now, some people will some people would think that would be weird to do. Why is he bound? I said, because of what you've been delivered from. Some people praise a lot harder than others. They shout a lot louder. They get up and dance or what have you. I mean, some people, they tap their toes a little bit. Some people jump. But it's based upon the condition of your heart towards God. Everyone is going to be different. Everyone. Sometimes we're driving along, and you know me, I'm always going to be singing. Sometimes I hear Kristen singing. I said, get it, girl! And then she'll just stop. It's like, why you have to say something? I was just fine. I was minding my own business, and then try to turn it down, and they listen to her. I said, you got a voice. You need to be up here. No, I'm good. So there's nothing wrong with expressing your love for God, and we all may do it different. But as long as his heart felt towards him. Some may lift their hands, some may shout, some even may bow down and just worship the Father right where they're at. But whatever you do, do it open. You don't have to be ashamed to praise God. You don't have to be ashamed to lift your hand. Well, we didn't do that in our old church. I said, well, that's your old church. I'm telling you, you can lift your hands in here. I grew up in a church where they didn't have words on the wall. You had to catch it. If you go to church enough, you'll find out what those songs are. You'll understand what they are, the words and everything else. But they didn't have this. This is easy. That's like, I got here, and then it's like, okay, they're doing it. What's that? Projectors, the overhead projectors. I was like, they got words up there. Now, if I can just get past the whistling that John was doing, I'll be all right. But we can all collectively praise him with a song. See, it's not a sign of weakness to praise him. Some people think, well, I'm just too tough for that. Jesus was as tough as they came. And yet, he never hesitated to give thanks to the Father. He never hesitated to give glory to God. David was tough. Slay Goliath. Yet he was the one that wrote this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Guys, we still think we're tough. I don't sing. Or dance. Or sway my hips. I'm telling you, when you get an attitude of praise, you're going to start, wait a minute, my hips do feel pretty good. There's a speaker that I like. I mean, he does this Elvis impersonation. I was like, yeah. It can have you doing that. When you praise, all your attention is focused on your Father. When you're giving thanks, all your attention, he says, pray, give thanks always. He wants you focused on him. So if you ever feel that you're stuck in a rut, thanksgiving and praise will help lift you up over the junk that is weighing you down. And there are only two times that you should be giving praise to the Father. Number one, when you feel like it. And number two, when you don't. So there's never a time you stop. I turn on some music sometimes. It's been a while since I've done this, but Ethan got some nice speakers. His friends bought him a big old JBL wireless Bluetooth speaker. And I was the only one at the house. And I turned that sucker on and it was thumping. I was, whoo! And I wanted to go outside the house to listen to it. And it was loud. And then I went back in the house, tried to get back in the house, and my combination lock wouldn't open up. And it was cold. And I didn't have my keys. And I was like, what in the world? And I had Kristen's old keys, or her keys to her car, and I didn't realize she had so I was outside about 10 minutes. I was like, why isn't this, it wouldn't even punch, like light up. It's like, what is going on? So, checked the key, went to the garage, and I was going to get ready to get a crowbar. I was about to break into my own home. I know they know me around there, but I was about to break into my own home. And then I checked the key and I was like, well, maybe this is a backdoor key right here. And it ended up opening up. And so I was like, ooh, thank you, Jesus. And I even unlocked the door before I went out and it still wouldn't open. But long story short, that speaker was bumping. So when I get to cleaning, when I ever get to cleaning, let me clarify that, I'm going to be thumping. And it might take me a long time to clean, but that's all right. But I'm going to be cleaning, and I'm going to be praising God while I do it. Luke 17:19 says this, and Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. This man came and fell to the feet of Jesus, thanking him for what he has done. Obedience led to this man's healing, and faith led him being made well in his life. Now he can go see his family now. He can go get that job and now support his family. He can hang out with his friend and his fellowship and talk about what Jesus had done for him. He no longer has to shout out, unclean, unclean. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Thanksgiving isn't just a seasonal thing. THANG. It's not a seasonal thing. It's a lifestyle that we intentionally do to show our gratitude and praise towards our Heavenly Father. You have a lot to be thankful for, whether you believe that or not. Some people, you know, when your immature stage years ago, oh, I'm thankful for this car because it can get me to work and back. I'm thankful for this money that we have and what have you. But when you become more mature, you're thankful just waking up in the morning. You're thankful for your relationship with Jesus. You're thankful for your children. Even though they may be older, they come home and stay for a little bit and bring the your grandkids over. And then they leave afterwards. You're thankful for the little things because those little things actually matter. Those other things may come and go. They're temporal. But those relationships, that trust, you're thankful that you can be able to go and visit your kids. There's a lot to be thankful for. If you start grumbling and complaining, just enter. Force yourself to enter into that Thanksgiving. Lord, what can I be thankful for? What can I think of? I'm breathing. My lungs are healed. They tried to give me a bad report. My lungs are healed. They said severe restriction in my lungs. Last test I did. My lungs are healed. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Colossians 3:12 says this. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender mercy. Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And just stay on that one real quick. See, we're all many different, we're different in many ways, but in the spirit, we're the same. Outwardly, we're different. I like hip-hop. I like Christian hip-hop. Some people may not like that. But I do. Others may like just praise and worship. That's cool. I like that too. I have many different songs and throughout my whole list and everything else. I said, but everyone is different. Everyone. But in the spirit, and this is what we're supposed to be doing, living by the spirit of God will benefit us so much more than living by the flesh. When we begin to live by the flesh, this is where we start to separate ourselves, which may cause divisions, jealousy, envy, different kind of cliques, divisions in race, gender, even political parties. You know, Sundays are one of the most segregated times in the church because we have so many different denominations. But we are one in the spirit. Paul says we must clothe ourselves. We must put on. So if we must put on something, we're going to have to take off something. In the previous verses, through like 5 through 9, you're reading that same chapter. You don't have to go there now. But it's telling you to take off that old man. See, we're new creatures in Christ. The old has passed, and behold, all things have become new. And once in a while, sometimes we may want to put on that old man. We may clothe ourselves, but we don't realize something here. When we start putting on our old man, you're going to find out it don't fit. You're walking around as a fat guy in a little coat. Lord, why am I having so much trouble? Because you're clothed with the wrong thing. You're clothed. That's the old man. This is the old man. He says, take that off. And let me clothe you with tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. That's the way we're supposed to be living. I know sometimes we want to throw that old, we think we can fit that thing, that old leather jacket. I want to wear that old t-shirt that I can roll up my cigarettes right there. Not the real ones, just the bubblegum ones. But he says, put that off. Clothe yourself with this. See, when you clothe yourself, your new identity in Jesus should be expressed through godly behavior. Verse 13, it says, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must do what? Boy, that is hard. But the quicker you do it, the better you're going to feel. Not that it's about your feelings and emotions, but it's just better for you to do it. Since Jesus forgave us before we ask, it's important that we forgive others who may have wronged us. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to trust that person and give them the right to be in your life. That means you have to buddy-buddy up with them. They lied on you in every which way. You don't have to trust them, but you do have to forgive them. Some people may be upset because you may have been promoted to something and they wanted that promotion. You don't have to make it. Listen, well, you're going to have to say you're sorry. Hey, there's no sorries in the Bible. There's no apologies in the Bible. And you should never have to forgive someone or ask for forgiveness for stepping into what God has called you to do. If he's called you to be this doctor and your family didn't want you to, sorry. I'm doing what the Lord is telling me. Or you're doing what the Lord is telling you. You don't owe anybody, but you're going to destroy their legacy. No, you're not. They destroyed a long time ago. Can you imagine David? David, you destroyed Saul's legacy. Saul destroyed Saul's legacy through his disobedience. So people will try to guilt trip you. But you're all right. As long as you continue to do what God is calling you to do, you owe nobody any apologies. You don't have to ask for no forgiveness in any way. You don't forgive. You don't ask for forgiveness for something you did right. Okay? But it hurt my feelings. Well, get your feelings from out of there. I love you. But total forgiveness is something we are supposed to clothe ourselves with. This goes for all believers. Sometimes you will have one offender going around telling others that this person over here is living in unforgiveness, but yet they denied all wrongdoing when they were confronted. So if someone offends you, you can go and confront them. But if they deny it, forgive them, you keep moving forward. It's supposed to go both ways. But if you're the one going around saying, he hasn't forgiven me, have you forgiven them? Because if you're talking about them not forgiving you, you truly haven't forgiven them, because if you forgave them, you would have kept moving forward. But you're worried about that apology that you need 20 years ago. I'm a grown man. I don't need no one to apologize to me. I'm not waiting. Hold your breath. I'm not waiting. But I still love you. I just don't trust you. Trust and authority has to be earned. You just don't give that to anyone. That has to be earned. And when people betray your trust, you still got to walk in love, but you don't have to believe everything that they say. They lie. They can go ahead and lie. God bless you. But I don't have to believe that lie. You don't have to believe that lie. Just keep moving. Forgive and then keep moving forward, even if they are going around playing the victim when they're actually the villain. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. The Passion Translation says this, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of maturity. Without forgiveness and love for one another, we end up grieving the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to do that. It says, above all, above everything else that is important, above all, clothe yourselves with love. This love walk for believers is always supposed to be a two-way street. But if it isn't, then you stay living the high life. Let them live the low life. Let them do all that unforgiveness stuff. You keep yourselves in love. You clothe yourselves. Don't be the fat guy in a little coat. See, because here's the thing. You can sometimes fool people, but you can't fool God. Because he's the one that searches the hearts and thoughts of man. He knows what's going on. I already said that. Verse 15 says this, and let the peace that comes from God rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always, always, always be what? Always be thankful. It's a lifestyle. See, you're setting your mind on heavenly things, and then you're living out what the Father wants for his children. Now, you may have heard this expression. You don't want to be so heavenly minded and be no earthly good. But here's the thing. Jesus was heavenly minded. He went about his Father's business. He said, paraphrasing, I can only do what I see my Father do. And I can only say what I hear my Father say. Jesus was heavenly minded and he was earthly good. So we can do both. We just don't want to be a granola Christian, right? Y'all know what that is? Filled with fruits, flakes, and nuts. You don't have to get weird with it. He's that example. Oh, bless God, Father. Dude, we're in line to check out. Chill out. Colossians 3:16 says this. Let the message about Christ and all his riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Let the message about Christ and all his richness fill your lives. Now, what area in our lives, what area in your life has Jesus not touched that needs to be touched? What message? What about the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ has not filled your life yet? Because when he does, he will make you whole in every area of your life. What area rug in your life did you just lift up and just sweep the dirt underneath? Anybody ever do that when they're young? They didn't like doing chores and they had to lift up the rug and just sweep this under here. They're not going to see. When you step on the rug and poof, dust come up. See, you can't do that with God. He knows it. He knows it. You know, when you are living a low life, it's difficult to teach and counsel each other without pride being in the way. Because one of the two is too busy trying to catch every little flaw they see and they end up blowing up to be bigger than what it is. Here's the thing. You clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And whatever you do or say, verse 17, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. See, when we have this attitude of thanksgiving, you're going to notice a whole lot more peace in your life. You don't have to get anxious about anything. Sometimes that's hard to do, but you know what? It's good to do. That's why it instructs us to do it always. Always. Lord, I thank you. Sometimes I just catch myself just saying that. I'm out of game. Thank you, Jesus. You trying to act all spiritual? No. Trust me. But what I'm doing is I'm clothing myself. And when you clothe yourself, that means you've taken something off. That you choose to walk in something so much greater and better that's going to benefit not just you, but your family. And not just your family, your friends. And not just your friends, your coworkers. Not just your coworkers, your students, or wherever you're at. Because you choose every single day to clothe yourself with the Spirit of God. Second Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in grace. To grow. Mature Christians grow. So we have to grow in this. Yeah, I don't like what she did to me. I get it. No, understand, I get it. But we still got to mature. We still got to grow. You still have to forgive. You still have to walk in love. Doesn't mean you have to be best friends with him. I'd be leery of those who will always give you example. I remember when there was a guy in my life and he used to ride me in every which way and we just ended up being best friends. How come this is the first time I've known you for 45 years. This is the first time I've ever heard that story. How come you just bring him out right now? Oh, because you want that person to forgive you right now. See, if you offend someone accidentally, I mean, you know, you didn't do it on purpose, and it takes them a long time to get over what you did, but they want you to, come on. You know who it is. You know how it is. And sometimes we end up doing that with other people too. No, I'm not going to forgive. That's hard for me. And I'm not a person that cuts people out of my life. I don't think I've ever done that. But they were close. They were at the tipping point. It was either that or a throat punch. But he says, you must forgive. So who am I not to forgive? Who am I not to love? Who am I not to clothe myself with tenderheartedness? Tenderhearted mercy, humility, gentleness, patience. We have to. Turn to your neighbor and say, take off that small coat. I'm not going to have you say fat. I'm not going to do that. Fat guy in a little coat. Fat guy in a little coat. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father of God, we just thank you that this is a lifestyle that we get to live. We choose to live with you, Lord. And each day, help us to clothe ourselves with humility, clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, clothe ourselves with the Spirit of God. And help us to burn the old gear that we used to wear before we met you. To look at our spouses and love them in a whole new, totally different perspective. I mean, just your love. That agape love. Father God, we just speak a blessing over their homes. Peace in their homes. Peace at the schools, in the classrooms. Lord, we thank you for these teachers that go out and brave it every single day. Coming against what the world wants to try to indoctrinate them with. We thank you for the wisdom and the boldness to be able to counter what the enemy wants to throw at them. And we believe that we will do it in love. They will speak the truth in love. And they will speak it boldly. And we just thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. And all who agree to that say, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming out. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.